January 9, 2007. Steve Jobs stands on stage holding what looks like an ordinary phone. Behind him, Andy Grignone, senior engineer for the iPhone's radio systems, is sweating bullets. The prototype in Jobs' hand is a disaster waiting to happen. It drops calls randomly, freezes without warning, and shuts down unexpectedly. Apple engineers have spent weeks creating elaborate workarounds, soldering antenna wires to demo phones that run off stage, programming devices to always show 5 bars regardless of actual signal strength, setting up multiple backup units for when memory inevitably runs low. It was like the first moon mission, one creator recalled. Yet Jobs delivers a flawless demo, and the world changes forever. What nobody realizes is that this sleek device will trigger one of the most consequential business battles of our time, a fierce war between former allies, Apple and Google, that would reshape not just technology, but media, entertainment, and how billions of people experience daily life. Jobs initially resisted building a phone. Every analysis suggested suicide. American manufacturers were serfs to wireless carriers who dictated every design choice. But by late 2004, the landscape shifted. Wi-Fi was spreading, bandwidth could stream video, and processors could handle sophisticated software. Mike Bell, who'd helped build the iMac, persistently argued they were wasting time putting iPod features in Motorola phones. After a 2-hour call in November 2004, Bell convinced him. What followed was chaos. Apple designed 3 entirely different devices over 2 years. The multi-touch screen was an enormous challenge. While the technology had existed since the 1960s, embedding it invisibly in glass for virtual keyboards was unprecedented. Jobs enforced extraordinary secrecy. Engineers worked 80-hour weeks under a Fight Club sign, unable to discuss the project with anyone. The pressure created screaming matches, resignations, and toxic competition. Jobs deliberately pitted teams against each other. Many left Apple shortly after launch, burned out. Yet on June 29, 2007, the iPhone launched on schedule, selling 270,000 units in 2 days. The iPhone blindsided Google's Android team. Their Sooner prototype, with its BlackBerry-style keyboard, suddenly looked obsolete. Apple had introduced revolutionary interactions, virtual keyboards, and context-sensitive software buttons. Within weeks, Android pivoted to Dream, a touchscreen phone previously in early development. The Android team spotted opportunity in the fragmented 2005 mobile industry. Limited bandwidth, weak devices, and poor software meant developers lost money building mobile apps. The nightmare scenario was Microsoft dominating mobile and threatening Google's search business, prompting Larry Page's $50 million acquisition of Andy Rubin's Android in early 2005. Google lacked Apple's consumer product experience and industrial design capabilities, but Rubin believed Android would prove technically superior and more widely distributed. Ironically, the iPhone helped. Apple educated consumers about touchscreens, and when Android arrived, carriers without the iPhone desperately needed alternatives. While Apple engineers worried about Android, Jobs trusted Google's leadership. But Google operated two-faced. Vic Gundotra led the iPhone team with evangelical zeal, while Andy Rubin ran Android as a secretive, stealth startup. Then Jobs saw Google's Android demonstration. "I'm in my car driving somewhere and the phone rings. It's Steve," recalled one confidant. "He was screaming so loud, I had to pull off to the side of the road. Did you see the video? Everything is a fucking ripoff of what we are doing." Jobs threatened to sue if multi-touch appeared on the G1. Google capitulated, removing multi-touch and modifying the unlock pattern. The Android team was devastated. Rubin nearly quit and displayed a sign reading, "Steve Jobs stole my lunch money," on his whiteboard. The T-Mobile G1 launched in September 2008 to lukewarm reception. Without multi-touch, its touchscreen proved inferior. But Verizon, which had rejected Jobs' 2005 partnership offer, recognized Android's potential. The Droid launched with brilliant marketing, positioning it as the anti-iPhone, rough, where Apple's product was refined, hackable, where it was closed. it became a tremendous hit, outpacing the original iPhone's first 3 months. Jobs' fury erupted publicly. At an Apple meeting, he declared, "Google wants to kill the iPhone. We won't let them." Their "don't be evil" mantra? It's bullshit. After suing HTC, he escalated, "Google, you fucking ripped off the iPhone. Wholesale ripped us off. I will spend my last dying breath if I need to, and I will spend every penny of Apple's $40 billion in the bank to right this wrong." Jobs' countermove was the iPad. If Google would win on breadth, he'd win on depth, creating an ecosystem where iPhone owners would buy multiple Apple products. On January 27, 2010, despite looking gaunt from his liver transplant, Jobs revealed the device. Eric Schmidt dismissed it as merely a large phone. Yet Apple sold 1 million iPads in the first month and 19 million in the first year, the hottest-selling consumer electronics device of all time. The climax came in summer 2012, when Apple faced Samsung in court. Though Google wasn't directly sued, Samsung had become the largest Android phone maker. The jury deliberated just 22 hours before finding Samsung liable for over $1 billion. Behind Apple's principled rhetoric lay ruthless strategy. The company had created one of the world's largest patent law firms, with approximately 300 attorneys working nearly full-time on cases worldwide. The tech battle triggered a $250 billion upheaval. Newspapers hit 20-year advertising lows, Amazon squeezed publishers, and DVD sales vanished. Yet, opportunities exploded. Netflix invested $100 million in House of Cards, Google poured hundreds of millions into YouTube channels, and Facebook, reaching half the internet, began facilitating independent film financing. Traditional television definitions blurred as Hollywood agencies pitched clients to app developers alongside studios. By mid-2013, Android captured over 75% of smartphones, while Apple stumbled without Jobs. Its Maps disaster forced apologies and executive firings. The Hollywood-Silicon Valley antagonism evolved into reluctant cooperation as both recognized dying business models. Mark Andreessen calls mobile the biggest thing our industry has ever done, enabling computers for 5 billion people. The irony? Cable companies' broadband now powers Netflix, YouTube, and iTunes services, threatening their core business. Content creators face harsh choices as internet networks emerge as viable alternatives to cable funding. The 2007 smartphone launch sparked a war that reshaped our world, fundamentally altering how we consume information and entertainment while destroying and creating entire industries. It turned allies into enemies and forced rivals into uncomfortable partnerships. The human cost was extraordinary. Engineers working 80-hour weeks, shattered friendships, fired executives, billions spent on legal warfare. Yet from this chaos emerged billions carrying pocket computers more powerful than what put humans on the moon, democratizing access to information and opportunity. The battle between Apple and Google wasn't just about patents or profits, it was about controlling the primary gateway to the digital world. That fight continues today, but its impact has already changed everything. Every time you unlock your phone, you're holding the result of one of history's most consequential business battles, a revolution still unfolding, still disrupting, still reshaping our future.